Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to The Art of Image. I'm Dan Phillips. This program is focused on personal image development. These shows will discuss topics ranging from custom tailoring to business attire to communication and everything in between. Stay tuned. This is The Art of Image. Us here in foggy San Francisco. Today is July 31st, 2010. On today's broadcast, we have image expert Parker Geiger on our third installment. If you don't already know it, Parker Geiger is the president and founder of the Chuva Group, an image and brand development company. Parker Geiger has been in the business of helping thousands of people worldwide with their personal presence. How are you this afternoon, Parker, and what's the weather like there in beautiful Georgia?
Well, it's absolutely hot. It's 107 degrees.
Wow.
And there's not a cloud in the sky, so I would welcome some of that fog down this way.
Well, we'll throw you some.
Okay, that would be awesome. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Good.
In this episode, we'll be discussing business savvy skills, as we mentioned in our last broadcast, and networking. I just wanted to ask you something here, and I like starting out with questions that are basic and fundamental to start. And
okay.
So the first question I have, Parker, is what are the different facets that encompass business savvy skills?
Well, there's many different facets of savvy skills, but we kind of have, Chuva's kind of narrowed down to four different what we call disciplines. And the first one is conversation, and the second one deals with nonverbal communication, you know, the body language aspects. Correspondence, how you write to people, emails, text, handwritten notes, and telephone skills. So most all business activities, at some point, these four disciplines intertwine with that. So that's how we kind of have broken it down.
I see. And what would you say is the quickest way to become business savvy?
Well, the quickest way, I always go back to, you got to always know yourself. And, you know, business savvy skills is about communication, really. It's about whether it's, you know, online or offline communications. But if you really know yourself and how you communicate, what your strengths are, what I call the red flags and green flags. For example, if you're more introverted or extroverted, that's going to help you learn how to communicate, you know, more effectively. So that's the first and foremost is know more about yourself so you can modify that behavior to be more effective when you're out networking with people or interacting with them, you know, online. And then the other part is really gaining a real understanding of what etiquette and protocols what the etiquettes and protocols of business are. You know, it's protocols are written in stone. It's got to be done. But the etiquette is how do you do that? You know, in years and years past, it was pretty much black and white. But now with all the different age groups and, you know, it's no longer just the men in the workplace and there's women and there are multi-billionaires that are 21 years old having meetings with 65-year-old men. So, you know, they are now become the senior person. So if you understand how etiquette works and the difference of that and protocol, then you're able to really be more effective. For example, making proper introductions. There's the protocol that you should make proper introductions. Then there's the etiquette of how that's done. You know, the new generation, the younger generation, doesn't even think that it's important that you make proper introductions. So when you're making a proper introduction, you always present the junior to the senior. That is the rule of thumb. And years ago, your boss was always senior. But today's world, the customer is senior. So here's how it would work. it's junior to senior, but you say the most important person's name first. So if I'm introducing Mike, say, for example, if I'm introducing a client, one of my clients, to my business partner, I would mention their name first and my partner's name second. So it's like if you're going to meet the Queen of England, they don't come in and say, Parker, I want to present to you the Queen. They say, Your Majesty, I want to present to you Parker Geiger. So the junior is being presented to the senior, but you say the most important person's name first.
I see. Wow. Now, could you give us a basic understanding of what we should or shouldn't do at a networking event? You know, both, I guess that would be some of your most obvious things that you wouldn't do, that would be in the verbal area and then in the nonverbal area.
Okay. I think the first aspect would be that the biggest mistake people make is that they don't, let me back up here. When you're talking about, the biggest mistake people make is when they stand with friends and they go with some people and their colleagues and they all stand together. And they already know those people. So they really should spread out, you know. If your purpose is to meet a lot of people, each person should meet so many people. But if you're all standing around people that you already know, then you might as well just go to a restaurant or a lounge and have a cocktail and forget about doing business. That's the biggest mistake. I think the second one is that a lot of people become a wallflower. And this is where the introverts are. The introverts are the ones who pretty much kind of go into – they don't like – it takes about 10 minutes to get comfortable in an unknown situation. So they come in, get a drink, get a plate of food, whatever, and they go stand in the corner, and they don't move a whole lot. So if you're more introverted, it goes back to knowing yourself, you need to put some tools in place to be able to not do that. On the other side, you've got the extroverts. They talk too much, they interrupt a lot. I'm guilty of that. So, you know, it's about, you know, the purpose of a networking function typically is to meet a lot of different people. And, you know, what I tell people, especially for the extroverts, is to look at the body positioning of the people that are speaking with each other that you want to break into and meet. And I call it the half moon shape or the triangle position. So if people are in a triangle position, they basically have their back to the crowd. What that nonverbally says to someone is, don't interrupt me. You know, we're trying to have a private conversation. And then the half moon is where it kind of is open, so it's open for people to come in and say hello. Extroverts tend to just break right into a triangle with no problem because they're very comfortable in doing that, but it becomes very rude. So that's some areas that they want to look at. Another one is, you know, eating and drinking. You know, when you go there to meet people, if you're going to have something to eat and drink, you need to have to handle the food and the drink at the same time, have conversation, shake hands, and deliver your business card. That kind of gets real kind of complex. So what I recommend people to do, if you're starving when you get to the event, is get there, grab a little bit of something to eat, go stand in a corner, eat quickly, and then put it away. It take about 15 to 20 minutes for the food to kind of fill you up, so don't sit there and eat like you hadn't eaten in days in the corner because people are observing you. But be gracious about it when you're doing it. But then you can have your drink in your hand, have your business cards positioned correctly so that you always know where they are when you've been asked to receive them. And I think the other one that people need to recognize, too, is that you're networking, not socializing. And for years in the beginning of my career, I socialized. I met people, had a great time, but what I realized was I wasn't networking, I was socializing.
I see. And I suppose what really would be then the difference between the two? I mean, how do you know whether or not you're actually networking, and how do you know whether or not you're socializing?
Well, basically, your conversion rate. In other words, if you're socializing, you're not closing deals. You're not selling a product. I mean, what's the purpose of networking is to do business. Whatever you're doing business means, if you're not getting those people into your nonprofit organization or not selling on the dotted line, then you're really just socializing. You're not networking. And in the South, we socialize a lot. You know, it's all about spending time. And, you know, in the South, it's we're networking, and 3 years later we're having lunch, and we look at each other and go, now why are we here again? It's great to know you, but, well, what's the purpose of this? In the Northeast, like, say, for example, in New York, it's pretty much, do you want to do business with me, yes or no? The person says no, great, let's go have dinner. You know, it moves a little faster. So really depending on the environment where you are. But at some point, you got to have what I call the conversion rate. Look at the number of people you're doing business with, following up, and selling to. And if you're not selling, then you're doing more socializing and not networking.
Okay. Now, this is very good because this all leads us into the area of really having a method when you go to these events and having a clear understanding what you're there for and really what you want to get out of it. Otherwise, you know, like anything else, if you don't have a clear plan, you know, you won't get there. And
exactly.
So with that, I think my next question really gets to that point. And what should be our goal at a networking event?
The primary goal of any networking event is to always have a purpose. If you don't have a purpose, don't go. Now, there's a lot of purposes why people go to a networking function. For example, the primary purpose of a networking function is to build a network of connections. So in a two-hour window, you've got, or typically networking events are an hour and a half to 2 hours. The problem there is, if that's your primary purpose, to meet as many people as possible, then you need to make that your goal. For example, if that is your purpose, you should spend no longer than 8 to 12 minutes per person. If you spend 20 minutes per person in a two-hour setting, you've got 6 leads versus 24 leads. You see, again, it goes back to what the purpose is and then what your conversion rate is going to be. If you're trying to sell to 6 people versus 24, you have a greater opportunity to sell something, right? So
yeah.
The second one is you might go to an event just to meet a particular person that you know is going to be there. And that's a whole different purpose. It's not to collect business cards or to meet new faces. It's to meet one particular person. And the other one might just be, hey, I need to keep myself visible in the public eye, so I'm going to go and just kind of walk in. I only have 10 minutes, but I'll walk in, have a drink, say hello to some people, and leave, where you're consistently seen. Because people keep looking at you and seeing you there, and they're like, oh, this person must be important. I should get to know them. So it's really about if you know what your purpose is, then you always walk away with an objective. And met. But what you have to do is when you get back to your office or your home, you got to ask yourself, did I reach my objective? How many business cards do I have? Did I meet the person I wanted to meet? How did I make that connection? All those things. And I'll give you another example, particularly if you want to meet someone in particular at a function. Maybe you contact somebody that knows that person that's going to be at that networking function and say, I'm going to be there tonight. Would you please make an introduction for me? And then that person will kind of set that up. You know, once you see them speaking to each other, you can walk by and say hello to the person you know, and then they make the introduction. So there's some strategies there behind that, but you got to plan. And I'll give you a good example of this, and this is one of my mistakes I made early on in my career. Back when we had the Olympics here in Atlanta, you know, the whole city was going crazy because, you know, they were tearing up streets and getting the city ready, and they were scaring everybody. Traffic was going to be horrible, and I just bought a condo downtown. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to leave town for 2 weeks and not get stuck in this gridlock. And but I had just flown in from a working contract, and I looked on my calendar. There's a networking function downtown. So, of course, I just went. I didn't see what it was about, what the purpose was. I just went because it was on my calendar. I was tired. I should have never went to begin with. I should have just went straight home and went to bed. So I go in, and I'm talking to some people, and I'm chatting with this young woman, and she's like, are you excited about the Olympics coming? I said, well, I'm excited for the Olympics, but I'm not going to be here, and, you know, I'm just they've been working on the city for 2 years, and, you know, just not being very positive about it. And, we said goodbye. Well, then they introduced the speaker, and it was somebody from the Olympic Committee, and that was the person with whom I was just speaking with. So, and I'm standing at the foot of the platform. So you can imagine my embarrassment. See, if I'd done my homework and knew who the guest speaker was and knew their name, then I could talk more intelligently. But that's what I'm saying. Don't get caught like that. Always have a plan. And learn from my mistakes. I've got plenty.
Now, if we you know, follow all the rules and conduct ourselves well and at the networking event, because, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, people go to these networking events and not really having a clear plan, I guess maybe give up a little bit on the whole networking idea and don't continue doing it. And so with that, what should be a reasonable expectation when walking away from an event?
Well, I'll just go back to the conversion rate once again, because it is about converting contacts into sales, but I'll expand on that just a second. You've got to be – people do give up, but, you know, you can't expect to – you know, when you're networking, you're not selling. You're qualifying. You're meeting new people. You're creating leads. You want to really get to know people and see where there might be a fit. But so if you give up early in the game, you're not going to win. I mean, you got to stay consistently at it. Remember, we go back to that visibility, image, and performance model we used in our first interview. Visibility is 60%.
Right.
It's number one of success potential. And that's the number one way, is staying out in your public, wherever your public is. But I also want to add to this is that just because someone's not a good fit for you doesn't mean they don't know someone who is a good fit. I've had people qualifying me, you know, what do? You know what I do, and tell me about who your clients are, and literally just leave the conversation because I'm like, they have no reason for me, you know. But they don't know who I know. And there was one incident where the guy actually, I had a lead for him that was a multi-million-dollar lead, literally. All I had to do was give him my friend's direct cell phone number because he had a product my friend could have been using. And
wow.
He just assumed I was not a contact. And he just clearly turned around and walked away from the conversation. So you can't be selfish. Sometimes it's, you know, it's not always about you. It should be your primary focus. But sometimes listen to what other people's needs are, because maybe about networking is maybe I could refer you, Dan, to someone else. You know, and that's building my brand and reputation, because I've connected two people that are going to have a successful relationship. That creates trust, and those people are going to be more loyal to referring me business in the future than if I just don't refer them at all. So it's a two-way street, and that's a big mistake people make out there. They give up early, they don't understand the conversion rate, and they don't network other people.
That makes sense. Now, next question I have for you really goes to the other side, and that's body language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, body language, it just seems to be so much a part of who we are, you know, so much a part of our innate character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live our lives not really thinking too much about it, you know, how we're standing and so on. How easy or quickly can we transform that part of ourselves?
It's very simple, and I always tell people all the time, it's not brain surgery. You know, people are not doing 25,000 things wrong. They may be doing one or two things that they could improve on. You know, it's either eye contact, it's their body position, how they stand or how they sit. So, you know, I always say video doesn't lie. I don't know how much you've been in front of a camera. I personally prefer to be behind the camera. But when you're on camera and you're videotaped, it's real, you know. So
yeah.
I always say videotape yourself and have someone help you. And I can give you a couple suggestions if you'd like. If you have someone sitting in a chair up across from you, say 10 to 15 feet, and just hold the video camera on them, and kind of get a full picture of them, and just start asking them questions, like, what do you like best about your job? Tell me about yourself. Where are you from? Kind of like an interview. And you'll start to see nervous habits coming through, because people are put on that spot. So
right.
You could see if there's legs twitching, or there's thumb twiddling, or they're tilting their head a lot, whatever it may be. And those are nervous habits. So you can start recognizing those and correcting them, because it's awareness. Awareness is 90% of it. I always look, too, about how people's posture is when they're sitting. You know, most of us slouch from our waist. If you think about it, we sit in a chair, you're just kind of slouching down. If you just push your waist forward, it pulls your body torso up, which gives you a better presence. When we stand, we slouch from our shoulders. You know, our shoulders are kind of rolled in. So if you're standing straight up and you've got your hands rested to the side, your thumbs are on the side of the body, right? So if
yeah.
you just kind of what I call thumbs out, roll your thumbs out, it'll help roll your shoulder blade back and give you a much better stance. You know, nonverbal communication really became a scientific study back in the early 1900s, and there was this horse called Hans the Horse in Germany. And they said he could add, multiply, subtract, and divide. So this horse, they would put him in front of an audience of people and ask him a question, and he would answer it by counting with his hoof, how many times he counted with his hoof. So they might say, what's 5 times 2? You know, he'd get to 10 and he'd stop. And he passed, you know, he was just became very famous. And then they brought this team of experts in and gave him a series of tests, and he passed them all. Well, then they brought a second group of experts in, and the first test was the end of his career. And here's what happened. They put the horse in front of the audience, and they put a person out on either side of the horse and the trainer in front of the horse. And the trainer would say, okay, Dan, whisper a number in that ear, Parker, whisper a number in that ear. Well, at that point, no one knew the answer, right, in the audience. Not even except for the trainer. So the trainer said, and the trainer didn't know either because he didn't know the number you whispered. So he said, Hans, add the two numbers together. Well, obviously he didn't get it. Further testing showed that when people knew the answer or just the trainer knew the answer, they would sit up just a little bit more and lean in just a tad more. And when he got to the answer, their body would drop. So that's showing the sensitivity. You know, and animals are very sensitive. You know, they're very intuitive. And we as people are too, but we've created such a mask and such a fear of going with intuition that we've kind of gotten away from our gut feeling on things. But, you know, if a horse can feel something and it's more powerful, imagine what people can do.
Right. Amazing. You know? Amazing story.
And there's, if I may, I can talk about a couple more if that would
be good. Sure.
The eyes, you know, when you're asking someone a question, zoom in on the eyes, and when they answer that question, look where their eyes go. Do they maintain eye contact and continue to talk, or do they look away and come back, or do they look away and never come back? Because I videotape people, and they're just like all over the heavens. They're looking straight up like, God, please give me the answer to this question, right? And if you think about the statue, the thinker, he's always looking down. So look at the eye contact about how you engage someone with your eyes. You don't want to stare constantly because you do get in their space nonverbally that way. And then the other one are hand gestures. You know, if you're real expressive or real extroverted, you tend to talk with your hands a lot. Sometimes you might need to tone it down some. On the other side of the coin, if you're more introverted, you might need to add a little bit more hand movement. You know, and if you're sitting down, for example, and you're using your hands, bring it up around the center of your chest area. Don't keep it down at your waist area. That's not bringing the energy up. So if you're going to make a point, kind of bring your hands up, and then you get back down with it. So those are a couple of areas to look for in their videotaping.
Great tips on that. Here's something that I've been thinking about. You know, having the knowledge of business savvy skills is one thing. But being able to implement them with, you know, grace and confidence can be quite another thing. For some, and actually for quite a few, who might lack the confidence. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that can help those with some of these issues? Now, I read about a study, actually several studies. There was one conducted in 1973, 1988, 1995, that basically stated that the number one fear that most people have is networking. You know, walking up to someone that they don't know and starting a conversation. So I think this question is really, really important. How does one resolve some of these issues so that you can be a better networker?
Well, first of all, you have to really practice at where your challenges are. For example, go back to the introvert and extrovert. You know, an introvert, for example, it's a huge fear for them to go to networking events because, oh my God, I got to talk to somebody and I don't like to talk. You know, you ask an introvert a question, how are you? Their response is fine. You ask an extrovert a question, how are you? Oh, I'm great. Today's been wonderful. You know, traffic's great. You know, those kind of things. So it's going back to understanding where your challenges are. So let's talk about the introvert, for example. There is a technique that they call elaborate techniques that can help an introvert become more conversationalist. So it takes about 10 minutes for an introvert to get into the conversation. Now, I have to interject here. It doesn't mean introverts are not expressive. They can be expressive once they're comfortable. There's a difference between expressive and being extroverted. The extrovert's going to walk up and have no problem talking to someone. So an elaborate technique would be, for example, if I'm introverted and I meet Dan, who's extroverted, and Dan says, well, Parker, I'm going to Miami next week on vacation. Now, an introvert typically would say, oh, that's nice, and then drop it. But an elaborate technique would be, well, you know what, Dan, I used to live in Miami. Where will you be staying? So I start to elaborate on what you talk about to get you talking more until I get more comfortable in the situation. Because typically, if we can give a one-word response as an introvert, that's what we're going to do. So if a person can start giving out more than a one-word response, for example, how are you today? I'm fine, or I'm well, how are you? Just say another three words. It's not going to kill you, but you've got to get comfortable with that. So practice is key. You've got to get really practicing on that every time you're in conversations. I just had a coaching session this morning with a gentleman who's an introvert, and we're preparing him for job interviews. And we talked about the same thing. You know, get very comfortable with the questions that you think you're going to ask. Get comfortable with them, and then understand that when you're doing small talk, how important that is, and just add in a little bit more on that. So that's what I would say is you've got to practice. You know, remember I always said wearing the right colors, saying the right thing, doing the right things is not going to make it successful. It's when you know and you're doing the best you can do, it gives you confidence, and it's that confidence that translates into success. And then, of course, on the other hand, you got the extrovert. And what do extroverts do well? They talk. Yeah. What do they do poorly? We don't listen. So we're always controlling the conversation, and that we're always telling. Well, how can I qualify or get to know about somebody if I'm always talking about me? And that was my hardest lesson when I was younger was, hey, you know, they don't want to know all about you. That really hurt my feelings, you know. But when I started asking them questions, well, tell me what you do and where are you from and how did you get into this type of line of work, I'm showing interest. And I've got to listen. As I listen, I can qualify that person, and I can ask more intelligent questions instead of just being a blah, blah, blah person the whole time.
Now, where can someone find some of these tools that can just get them into the practice of doing some of the things you've just stated? I mean, is there a book? Is there something that they can listen to?
Yeah, we actually have an e-book on business savvy skills that covers the four disciplines that we talked about earlier. And there's an online assessment that they can take, and it's free.
Uh-huh.
And they can go to businesssavvyskills.com,
okay.
All one word, of course, businesssavvyskills.com. They can take the test, make sure that you put your correct email address in there. When we receive it, we'll forward it on to the person. And then if they want, they can purchase the e-books that follow with that, that's available for them. And I think it's $12.95 for the e-book. So what you got, like 60 questions, and then the e-book actually gives you the answers back of all the 60 questions. So your questionnaire will tell you which ones you got right and which ones you got wrong. So when you get your e-book, you can go in and really focus on the ones you got incorrect as well. And that's pretty much that's the tool that we use and found most effective.
Okay. Now, it looks like we're running out of time again. Boy, these shows, I mean, we run out of time quicker and quicker every time we do a show. They're so informative, and I think I really feel as though we need to do another show on this particular topic because I think there's so much more we can talk about. Related to body language, facial expressions, and so on. And so I'd really like to, we'll talk after the show's over about scheduling our next show. Hopefully we'll be able to do it next Saturday. That would be August 7th for the listeners out there so that they know. But is there anything else you wanted to add on the topic today, Parker?
No, I think there was one other thing that came to mind earlier, and it's a misunderstood technique, and it's called mirroring. You know, people always say mirror the person you're speaking with. And what people think about, when people think of mirroring, they think about copying or mimicking what the person's doing. So if I'm sitting in my chair behind my desk straight up and formal and I have my arms crossed and I'm leaning forward or I'm leaning backwards. The person actually copies that person. That's not what it means at all. Mirroring is staying in the context of that message or what that person is saying. So if I'm more relaxed, and I can be more relaxed, but I don't have to be sitting exactly like them. You think how weird it would be. In our coaching sessions and our seminars, we demonstrate this, and it's quite humorous because people will come up and start copying every move I make. It feels strange.
Yeah, that would be. So what you're saying is more, it's not about necessarily the exact body language. It's about more of the mood, the feeling that they're in, and that's what you want to mirror.
Exactly, exactly. So for those of you out there who are copying people in a job interview or in a meeting, it's strange. Don't do it.
Now, is there a particular name to that field of study, that particular topic or that area of subject matter? You know, the mirroring, the body language, I guess what you're really trying to do is get in rapport with that other individual.
Exactly. Absolutely. I think it's just relating to the individual. You know, it's understanding what they're talking about, engaging their conversation of their interest, you know, making them feel comfortable. If someone's sitting very relaxed and you're real formal, it makes them feel uncomfortable. You know, so it's really getting that comfort zone to build that relationship. You know, it's interesting because there was a study done by Albert Mehrabian back in 1979, I think from UCLA, actually. And his book is – he had to write another book to really explain the first book because everybody misunderstood the first book. But he talks about the three channels of communication, and it's body, tone, and words. And he said 55% of your body language communicates your attitude about what you feel about something. 38% is the tone that you use, and 7% are the actual words that you use. Well, when he was talking about body language, he was really talking about facial expressions because that's how people really read it. But you have to look at the whole message, and I'll give you an example. A lot of people say, if you cross your arms, you're shutting me out. That's not true. You cannot take one nonverbal cue and draw a conclusion. So, and a lot of women in business stand with their arms crossed, right? Or I sit with my arms crossed quite a bit. Now, if my whole body language is saying I'm shutting you out, then I'm shutting you out. So you got to look at the rest of the sentence, not just the one word. But if the rest of the, if I'm crossing my arms and I'm still having a very approachable, open body language with you, then I'm not shutting you out. And that's another big myth about body language, is that you can't take one nonverbal cue and draw a conclusion.
Well, that's really good to know, because I think some people are following those myths to the letter, and they could be really making a very big mistake in doing so.
Absolutely.
Now, what I should say at this point is, how does someone get a hold of you? Is there a phone number, website they should go to? If they have more questions about this topic, and certainly, of course, you know, for our listeners on the show, they should email us here at artofimagetalk@gmail.com, because we do want to have a conversation with our listeners. We want you to email us your questions, and I will from now at this point forward schedule shows so that you know what the topics are beforehand, and so that you can go on to the blogtalk.com/artofimage site, look at what the program is going to be about for the following week, and then start thinking about your questions and emailing them to us so we can get those over to Parker and we can answer them for you.
That's great.
But,
and
yeah,
they can reach me at 678-705-2366. Again, that number is 678-705-2366. Or they can just go to our website, which is Shuva Group. That's CHUV as in Victor, A as in Apple, group.com. And there is a place they can send comments and things. And we have made some changes to our site this week and got more exciting changes coming up. So they get a chance, they can actually look at it. And they can actually now, I believe, on our front page, we have a link to our interviews, Dan. So there's an easier way to get to you as well.
Great. And remember that our next program is scheduled for August 7th. I'm thinking that it's going to be at the same time. What do you say, Parker?
I think it might work out well.
Okay. Well, thank you once again for being on the Art of Image Blog Talk Radio Show, and we'll say goodbye for now.
Thank you so much, Dan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Parker.
Bye-bye.
The Art of Image is sponsored by L.T. Bodrix of San Francisco. Thanks for listening. My name is Dan Phillips.